Well, joining us this morning is Valerie Van Heest, and she wrote the book Fatal Crossing. And before we introduce her, of course, the story that everybody is following nationally is that missing Malaysian flight 370 and the Boeing 777, and it was the most up-to-date information is the search for the plane continuing in the southern Indian Ocean. Authorities resume that the initial search for the debris linked to Malaysian Airlines flight may not be related. They're really not sure where it is, but the reason that we're talking to this woman, Valerie Van Heest, is the story that we'll talk about in a minute of the connection to the what people are calling the most baffling mystery in Michigan waters, and it may not only Michigan waters, but the United States waters. But first, good morning, Valerie. I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good morning, Dan. Thank you.
And like I said, yeah, the book is Fatal Crossing. Why don't I just have you explain this, what this is, since this is your book, and you can tell it much better than I ever could. But people are flocking to talk to you about this because of how eerily similar what happened in Lake Michigan back in the 50s.
Yeah, exactly. It was a routine flight from LaGuardia Airport to Minneapolis and then on to Seattle, one of the first cross-country flights being offered. There was a storm brewing over Lake Michigan at the time, but that shouldn't have been a problem for these pilots. They were seasoned, they'd flown the route many times,
right,
and there were ways to get around storms. But when it reached the lakeshore near South Haven, Michigan, the captain, Robert Lind, radioed in for clearance to descend to 2,500 feet.
Hmm.
Now, that sounds low, but these planes weren't pressurized back then.
Well, they had to fly pretty low.
They did. And so 2,500, we suspect, was trying to fly under the storm.
Okay.
Well, his clearance was denied, and that was the last anyone heard from the flight. By 5:30 the next morning, it was clear that something tragic had happened, but there was no evidence of any debris found anywhere on the lake.
So this plane, we suppose, is somewhere in Lake Michigan.
Well, we suppose, but initially, much like Malaysia Airlines, the relatives of the victims held out hope that maybe it crashed somewhere on land in a dense forested area, and maybe there were survivors.
Yeah.
So the emotions of those family members were quite intense until the first debris was found, and that was found about 12 miles off South Haven.
Mm-hmm. Now, what type of debris was it?
Well, initially a fisherman pulled in his nets and found a suitcase, and remember he was a fisherman, but he realized that the flesh that he was pulling up in those nets wasn't fish.
Yeah.
So he reported this to the Coast Guard, and within a couple hours they were out there. They found a debris field about 12 miles diameter offshore. Now, when we think that their discovery happened about 48 hours after the crash, the debris had still dispersed quite a distance and quite a ways from the point of impact.
Yeah. There are so many questions because of how closely similar these two situations are. I think one, after hearing the story of how they were denied the approval to drop in altitude, why was that? I mean, I'm no aviation expert, but I'm sure that person thinking about this now, whoever it was that said you can't drop down, might have thought, may have had second thoughts after this happened.
Well, later my research turned up that the traffic that was denying the flight to go lower was actually grounded because of the storm. So that was one of the tragic things that contributed ultimately to this accident.
Mm-hmm.
Our team, Michigan Shipwreck Research Association, has been searching now with well-known author-explorer Clive Cussler of the NUMA, the famed NUMA. They've been coming here each year. We've been teaming up 10 expeditions in 10 years, covering 600 square miles, and the mystery still exists. Where did that plane go down?
And we have never found it. It's whether it's in Lake Michigan or somewhere else, wherever it is, I doubt it was swallowed by a black hole over Lake Michigan.
No.
But that's just so crazy how similar these two stories are. Once again, the book is Fatal Crossing, the plane that crashed in the 1950s over Lake Michigan. We don't know if it crashed. We're not sure where it is. But we got a caller. And good morning. Do you have a question for Valerie?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
I want to congratulate you on your research.
Thank you.
You folks do a fantastic job. I always look forward to your reports. Do you recall, speaking of the flight crash,
yes,
there was something going on maybe around World War II, where a flight of trainer planes or something like that went down in the lake. I think that maybe they were found, but I can't recall.
In Lake Michigan?
Yes.
You know, a number of planes have gone down around World War II. In fact, if you're interested in that, Saturday night at the Knickerbocker Theater in Holland, we're hosting an event called Mysteries and Histories Beneath the Inland Seas, and we're bringing in a speaker on that very topic. A number of warbirds training military men due to go to World War II went down in Lake Michigan, and now all these years later, these are national treasures, planes that are very unique and rare, and many of them have been brought up for museums. So please come to the event and hear Keith Pearson, the lead salvage engineer, talk about these fascinating recoveries.
And that's Saturday, Mysteries and Histories. So what time and place again?
That's going to be at 7 o'clock at the Knickerbocker Theater in Holland. You can get tickets online on our website, michiganshipwrecks.org, or you can simply come to the door and pick up a ticket that night. We're reserving a block for people who choose to walk in.
She's Valerie Van Heesen. The book is Fatal Crossing, the story about the flight that went down or went missing over Lake Michigan in the 1950s, Flight 2501. And Valerie, I think the one thing that many people are curious about with how similar this is to the missing Malaysian plane is, did you talk to the families of the Michigan accident in the 1950s? How did they ever cope with this? Because there's so much unknown, no closure.
Well, it was very difficult. Initially, in researching the accident, I didn't realize that people would still be alive. We're used to dealing with shipwrecks that are over 100 years old, no victim's family are alive. But I did, in time, connect with over 50 of the 58 families. I interviewed them. I included their thoughts and feelings in the book. And one thing rings clear, that without the wreckage and without a cause of the accident, they can never really find closure.
Wow, that is unbelievable. And again, if you want to find the book, it's Fatal Crossing. I'm sure they can find you online. Where can they go?
Any of the major retailers or bookstores.
They've got it.
Yes.
Will we ever find this missing Malaysian plane?
Well, we think we've got some answers, but we don't know if we're going to ever find the wreck on the bottom. We're not going to stop trying, though.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, too, with the over Lake Michigan. It's definitely not even close to as deep as an ocean. Do you think we'll ever find that? I mean, you've been working on this for years.
It's a possibility, but it's a big lake and it's a small plane.
Yeah. Once again, Valerie Van Heest joining us. The book is Fatal Crossing, the flight that went missing over Lake Michigan. Valerie, I appreciate you joining us this morning. This is such an interesting local twist to this story in Malaysia.
Thank you very much, Dan.
All right.